This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket Can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, they did it. They actually went ahead and did it. Now, listen, I'm not naive. I knew that there was going to be a lot of decision-making between these conferences on whether or not they were going to play college football. But I really did think, especially with the Big Ten, when you saw the outcry of the coaches in that conference coming out and saying, this is not right. We got to play. Our players want to play. We want to play. Let's put some safety measures in place and let's go at it. I thought the university presidents would change their mind, at least in the Big Ten. Pac-12, I said this yesterday, I thought the Pac-12 was waiting for somebody else to make the move first. I felt like with Los Angeles still being, you know, kind of problematic with the virus, it's a problem in Arizona and some other places in Pac-12 country, that they were just seconds away from making the decision based on anybody else. Just let anybody else be first, and then we are going to follow suit. And that's exactly what happened. Once the Big Ten came down, the Pac-12 followed suit, and now you've got two of the Power Five conferences out. Now, who is going to be bold enough to go all the way through to the end? Will it be the three that are remaining in terms of the Power Five? Will it be the ACC, Big 12, and the SEC? Will it just be the SEC? Will it be nobody? These are all questions we're going to have to ask ourselves or find out as the weeks go by. Right? You saw yesterday that it did not matter that Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh and Scott Frost and anybody else within the Big Ten that had said, hey, we've got to play football. The path to safety is clear. We can do this. We believe that there's a method of doing this as a way of keeping these players safe, probably quarantined as best we can. We think there's a method to this, but it didn't matter. In the end, the conference said, no, we're not going to do this. And then, because, again, what's going on in states in the Pac-12, it was easy for the Pac-12 to make that decision. They postponed all sports through the end of the year. So what does this mean for college football? What is it going to look like if we just have three Power Five conferences left? Can we still have a national championship? Is it even necessary to have polls? What will it look like in the fall if we have three or two or possibly one? We'll discuss that coming up. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket Can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We've got a busy show this morning. We'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up at 40 past the hour. Next hour, we got Ben Kercheval. We'll talk to him, and then we'll get into a little Shark Week. Yesterday was a really... kind of not a bizarre day, because we've had days like this. We've had really good sports stories and really good sports things, but kind of piggyback with some bad news. The college football season has been altered because the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are out. The three Power Five conferences are left. Maybe they're on life support, and maybe not. We don't know. We don't know where the next few weeks are going to go. But last night, like yesterday, you had Damian Lillard scored 61 points. Portland has got the eighth seed in the Western Conference playoff race. Thank you, Memphis, for not showing up. Portland, who didn't want to be there, who'd actually discussed whether they should go, is now in the middle of a playoff race in the West. And then in the NHL, you had a six-hour hockey game. Five overtimes between Tampa Bay and Columbus.
That they didn't finish.
It was just nuts. Listen, it was... Look, I'm one of those hockey guys that I just like playoff hockey. I'm sorry. The Predators are popular where I live in Nashville. I mean, I wouldn't think that given we live in the South, but the Preds are really big. They're a real popular team. I'll watch a few regular season games. I go to a few games a year. I love playoff hockey. I'm not the biggest regular season hockey guy you'll find, but I love postseason hockey. That was amazing to just continually see that game. going and going.
Thought for sure we were going to start seeing people just collapse.
I know. I did too. 6 hours. The funny thing about it was I was at a restaurant last night. We kind of went out to dinner and it was on in the bar area and people were like staring at a hockey game and they were watching it and I didn't know what was going on. And so I kind of mentioned to the, you know, talking to the waiter about it and he was like, yeah, that game's been going on since like 3 o'clock. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, it's been going on for forever.
No, in fact, there was a guy, it was Tampa Bay versus Columbus, maybe. I don't know who it was. They started 2 hours after them and finished before them.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Columbus was the 6 hour game.
Oh, okay. Then it was, God, who was the other? It was another team. Dallas.
There was a team in Edmonton, yeah.
Yeah, there was another game that started 2 hours after them but finished before them.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So you got, you know, you get this feeling, right? So here we are. We've been without sports for so long. Sports is coming back. You've got a pile of stuff that you can be excited about. Like, I'll give you another one. Colorado Rockies. Charlie Blackman is now hitting 15 straight games and has a batting average of .500. I know we're very early in the season, but that's pretty awesome, right? Pretty awesome.
It's got to count for something.
It's got to count for something, except here's the news. College football is on life support, right? That was the big story of the day. Now, I have no idea what the other three conferences are thinking. They all put out statements talking about their dedication to playing in the fall. But this is like the wind. It'll change. It can move. The Big 12 at any moment of any second could say we're out. SEC, as much as they feel like they're committed to playing fall, could say the exact same thing. Is this a domino? We don't know yet. I mean, when the Big Ten went down, I knew the Pac-12 would follow suit, but I didn't think anybody else would, and it didn't. But that doesn't mean that's not coming down the line. I've been saying this for a long time, the last couple of days anyway, that I think each conference should do its own thing. Each conference should play its own games, have its conference championship, and get out of this thing as quickly as possible. Celebrate your own title of your own conference and leave. College football is a unique sport in a lot of ways, and one of the unique things about it is that the games don't have to have a larger meaning to have value, right? Meaning that we all watch these sports during the regular season because in the end there's a playoff race, there's playoffs, and then there's a champion. College football can be different in a lot of ways. You can win the SEC, not compete in the national championship playoff, still have a successful season. Or you can win the Pac-12 and still have a feeling like your alumni has gotten a lot out of the year. You can have a Michigan-Ohio State, for example, where maybe both teams aren't playing for anything, and it's still incredibly important to the fan base. Look at the rivalries that happen at the end of the year. Mississippi State. I mean, the Apple Bowl or all of these games that go around Washington State. The rivalries matter, and so you can have teams that have average records, and yet these games are very, very important. So you can stay within the conference and still get value to your fans and alumni. If the Big Ten is out, and that includes Ohio State, and the Pac-12 is out, and that includes USC and Oregon and possibly Utah, then I think that the national polls need to either go away or not have any significance towards a national championship. I'm not interested in a national championship that doesn't include a potential Ohio State juggernaut that's not playing this year. I think you just keep it within the conference. I think one of these three conferences is going to say goodbye to the fall. I think we could end up with just two or possibly one. And the thing about it is, if there is one, and let's say it's the SEC, because that's where everybody's narrowing their focus, saying if anybody's going to play in the fall, it's the SEC. Whenever somebody goes at it alone, right, whenever there's a pioneer, whenever there's somebody that goes, everybody goes left, I go right. We view it in two ways historically. Right. One is that person's a genius. That person bucked the trend and paved another path to greatness. But it's also we also view that sometimes as foolishness, where we've seen people lose a fortune because they pursued uh, a, an, an avenue that everyone said, don't go down that road. It's not going to work. That idea is not going to sell. That idea is not something the world needs right now. And they've dumped all their money and resources into that, thinking that they were going to go in a different direction and do it their way and do something that was going to be unique. And it turned out to be a disaster. I know the SEC wants to play badly in the fall. If there was one conference that is dedicated to the idea, it is the Southeastern Conference. But they could be looked at as making a dumb decision if indeed everything falls apart around them and comes to COVID. If they can't control it, if there's an outbreak at Georgia, if there's an outbreak at Auburn, if there's an outbreak at Ole Miss, if there's an outbreak at Kentucky, all of a sudden now, that the SEC is going to be looked at as they should have seen all the signs. They should have listened to more people instead of the boosters, instead of the fans that are clamoring for this. But if they succeed, if they are able, because of their resources, daily testing, proper protocol, quarantine as best you possibly can, and within their own institutions that are controlled by the conference at large led by Greg Sankey, if they pull it off, and they have a football season, and it's 10 games within its own conference, and they have a championship game, and they crown a champion, and that's it. History is going to look back on it and wonder why the other schools, all the other conferences, why didn't they play? Hindsight's always 20/20, right? That's what we always say. That's the old cliche. But if there is a conference, it doesn't necessarily have to be the SEC either. It could be the ACC. It could be the Big 12. If one of them goes through this and does everything in their power, everything they possibly can to play football and put all their money and resources behind keeping players as safe as they possibly can, I think that's going to be a favorable look. And I think down the road, and this is where the danger part comes in, the Big Ten, and let's focus on them for a quick second. They had their coaches screaming, we want to play, we want to play. And you had the players screamed, we want to play, we want to play. We'll take the risk. We'll do whatever you have to do. We'll take the risk. And the university presidents did not listen to that. The university presidents didn't listen at all. And I'm telling you right now, there is a movement going on amongst these football players. And it is a movement that is going to get legs, and it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and is going to trickle down into the high schools, and high school recruits are going to know what they're going to be walking into, and they're going to know what the opportunities are to have their voice heard. And they now know that there is a conference that did not listen to anybody. Now, maybe in the end, they made the right decision. We will know, and history will prove this out either way. We will see COVID affect college football dramatically, moderately, not at all, or a slight impact. We will see it. And we'll be able to judge when it's all said and done who made the right call and who didn't make the right call. But let's be clear on one thing. If I am a football player in the Big Ten, and I am part of that group that screamed to be listened to play, that I don't want to play in the spring, I want to play in the fall, I want you, university presidents, to do everything you can to allow me to play. I am willing to do this. I am doing this of my own free will as an adult. And the university said no. They said no. I'm telling you, it's going to have some effect. There'll always be kids that will want to play at Michigan. There'll always be kids that will want to play at Ohio State. Always be kids that will play at Nebraska. But there's also going to be a group of recruits that would go to Ohio State, that would go to Michigan, that would go to Michigan State, Wisconsin, that may change their mind because that university said, we don't think you're wise enough, educated enough, or mature enough to be heard on this issue. I honestly believe that whatever comes out of this, whatever COVID does to college football, whether it doesn't affect it or it affects it so dramatically, the big takeaway on this is players are getting a voice. They are screaming. They want a seat at the table. They want to discuss this sport and their participation in it. And there are going to be coaches and administrators that are either going to accept that or not. And those who don't are going to pay a price. couple of reporters have already made a comparison to SMU and the death penalty. I think that's way too extreme. When SMU came back and recruits just stayed away, I think that's way hyperbolic. But the idea is still there. Think about a football player that's got many options, and the Big Ten is one of them, and he knows that in a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever that timeline is, they didn't listen to the players who said they wanted to play. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Again, good, the bad, and the dumb coming in 15 minutes of this hour. Busy hour next hour. We're going to get into a little Shark Week. That's always fun. We did it last year. We're going to do it again this year. And also, Ben Kercheval will join us to talk about this whole college football situation. But coming up, we're going to get to the good stuff. The good, the hockey game last night, Damian Lillard and what the NBA is doing. Because there were some really good stories yesterday in sports that wasn't so dire like what college football presented us. It's coming up next on Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in 12 minutes. Don't want to miss that. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, again, college football yesterday, it wasn't a great day as the fall seasons were postponed, if you will. They're trying to play in the spring. We'll see how that goes. But for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. But Damian Lillard scored 61 points last night in a Portland victory against Dallas, hitting a three-pointer and gave him 61. And Portland is 5-2 since the restart and have now got the eighth seed in the Western Conference. The Memphis Grizzlies fell apart the moment they arrived in Orlando. They have been a disaster, much like the New Orleans Pelicans. Never found a rhythm, never found any sort of groove. I liked the Memphis going in. I really did. Ja Morant was playing really well. Dylan Brooks. They did lose Jaren Jackson, and that's a big deal. But still, your job is to just win a few games. You didn't have to win that much. And now there'll be this play-in battle for the 8-9 seed in the West. Portland is right there in it. One of the hottest teams next to Phoenix since the restart. Now, look, the top seeds in this, you know, Boston, Milwaukee, the Lakers, Clippers, Denver, they can win and lose these games. Nobody really cares. Nobody's freaking out about it. The only thing they want is to be healthy before you begin the playoff run. So LeBron sat out. You know, you've got some other players that have kind of chilled out a little bit as they close out the regular season. The race for the bottom part of the conference playoffs has been really fun. We've seen Phoenix come in guns a-blazing. Devin Booker's been fantastic. And now you've got this Portland team where Damian Lillard had 51 against the Sixers, now 61 last night against the Mavericks. They are 5-2 since the restart. And at the beginning of this whole process, they were one of the teams that had kind of questioned whether or not going down to Orlando was going to be a good idea, even for them. They were, you know, would it be worth it to go into this bubble and try to make the playoffs and try to do something. I mean, there's so many different circumstances outside of just basketball. And once they got there, they made the best took the best opportunity they could to make a run towards the postseason. And again, this is a great opportunity for a 7 or 8 or even a 6 seed in these conference playoffs. Sure, on paper, they may not be as talented or as deep as some of the top teams, but one of the major factors of postseason success is having home court advantage. And so with that off the table, get into this playoffs and let's see what happens here. You never know where luck may roll the dice for you. And Terry Stotts has got a team that has dedicated themselves to making the most of being in this isolated bubble situation in Orlando when not long ago they were a team that was questioning whether or not it would be a good idea. But that to me is really impressive to see guys like Damian Lillard and Carmelo Anthony has played pretty well. CJ McCollum is playing with a back problem. Is to see this team in a bubble situation say, you know what? We've got two choices while we're here. We can just play this thing out, get the hell out of here, go home to our families, and figure out where we're going next season. Or while we're here, we might as well win some basketball games. Because it may sound obvious that that's what you should do, right? If you're going to be in, you know, if you're going to be in Orlando at Disney World and you're in quarantine, you might as well win some games. But that's not what the Pelicans were doing. Like, the Pelicans were more concerned about load management for Zion because of his injuries and making sure that they've got their superstar for years to come. Right choice or wrong choice, that was their choice. Whereas Portland said, we are going to go at this guns blazing, Damian Lillard blazing, and win some basketball games. And they're fun, man. They are fun to watch. And Phoenix is too. Phoenix has done the exact same thing. Phoenix is on fire down there in Orlando. And when you get momentum and you're on fire and you feel confident, you believe, hey, who knows what is going to happen? Man, we've seen first-round upsets when there is home court advantage. We could see upsets when it's all neutral sites and no crowd. So that's, you know, what's going on down in Orlando with the NBA, I've enjoyed immensely. Because the storylines are coming out are fun. It's sports again. Look, we could have had it the other way. We could have gone, this is a disaster. Look how many people got COVID. This should have never began. This is stupid. Instead, all the NBA is giving you is, hey, does Portland have a chance against the Lakers if they were to meet in the first round? What about Utah's chances? What about Denver's chances? What about the Celtics in the East? All sorts of different kind of storylines as we head to the playoffs. We're going to be wrapping up the regular season basketball, and then we're going to get into the playoffs. And storylines like Phoenix and Portland have been magnificent. And likewise, too, having people say things like, I disagree with the Pelicans' decision to limit the minutes of Zion Williamson. Or I believe that they're making the right call in they don't want Zion to be Greg Oden and then never play again and just injury after injury after injury for the big man and then never becomes the player that they thought when they drafted him number one overall. We can have those debates now when 3 or 4 months ago we were wondering if we were ever going to see the season, when were we going to see the season again. So I'm loving that. And last night's hockey game, the 6-overtime hockey game, was one of those sporting events. Again, you don't even have to like the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Columbus Blue Jackets or hockey in general. But it was one of those sports anomalies that pops up that you feel like I can't take my eyes off this thing. Or I can't stop paying attention. Right? One overtime becomes two, two becomes three. Now all of a sudden people are hearing about it, seeing it on social media, wondering what's going on, maybe tuning in. Then three goes to four, and then four goes to five, and we're 6 hours into a hockey game. Now, it's funny because one of the first things that you can find, and it's very easy to find it, is somebody writing a column saying, maybe the NHL should go into a shootout, or maybe the NHL should do something different in overtime. These endless hockey games are not healthy for the players, etc. First of all, they're rare. They don't happen all the time. Second, it is one of those great things about hockey that when it does happen, it gives that sport all the attention it wants. Right? It's unique. It is like a 20-inning baseball game. I mean, they played, what was it, 5 overtimes. And each overtime, again, in the regular season, the overtime is 5 minutes. Right? So it's 5 minutes, and then you go into a shootout. They play 20 full minutes of hockey in a playoff overtime. So they play 3 in regulation, and then they added another regulation game and then another half of a regulation game before Braden Point won it for the Bolts. Now, I'm sorry. If this happened every night in every game, if you had series where you had a best-of-7 series and one game went into 4 overtimes and the other game went into 3 and the other game went into 5 and maybe 3 of the 7 games had these marathons, then maybe I would say start looking into it. They pop up every now and then. They're fun. I think it gives hockey a lot of good attention. People were like, look, I live in Nashville. The Predators aren't even in this thing. And there were people at the restaurant last night gathered around the TV wondering what was going to end. Social distancing, of course. But still curious as to what was going on. Those are the good things in sports. Good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up next, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, good, bad, and the dumb. Here we are on a Wednesday. We got the midweek part of the thing. Let's feel good about the at least something going on in sports. What's the good of the day?
Well, not really sport per se, but I absolutely love this story. The National Park Service put out an announcement, put out some tips for all of for all you travelers who are heading to the mountains or visiting the national parks this summer.
Yes.
One of the tips is what to do, or a couple of tips, what to do when you come across the bear.
Okay.
Right? Here's the first tip. Please don't run from bears, or push your slower friends down in an attempt to save yourself.
Ah, good. They don't want you doing that.
No.
They don't want you to sacrifice your buddy.
No, they don't want you to be with the slower runner.
Right.
And say, oh, take him. He's meatier.
That's me. That's me. I'm the slower runner in that scenario. So they don't want me pushed down like, no, the bear's going to eat me. Better you than me. I'm out of here. Goodbye.
I love the fact that they have a sense of humor about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe, I know that's probably, you know, on one end, it's sarcasm, right? What they always say about sarcasm, and every bit of sarcasm is a hit the truth.
Sure.
I'm certain that they were being sarcastic when they put out this bear tip of not sacrificing your friend or not outrunning your friend or using your slow friend as bait.
Right.
But there's also some truth in it, probably, because they've ran into that issue before, right? I'm certain they have.
Of course they have. By the way, what are you supposed to do if you run into a bear in the wild? Did they say stand still?
I always thought you're supposed to get like in the fetal position.
Oh, I got it.
But after watching The Revenant with Leo,
yeah, no.
He got into the fetal position. He still got messed up pretty good.
Can I be honest with you? I don't know if I could be in the fetal position knowing a bear was just hanging around. Like, I don't know what the bear is thinking, and I can't talk my way out of that situation. So if I was in the fetal position, my heart would burst through my brain, and I would go, I can't, no, I'm dead anyway.
I mean, do you stand tall?
The stress would kill me alone.
Are you supposed to stand tall and, you know, growl at it?
Yeah.
I've seen videos of people doing that. Not real ones, obviously, but I have no idea. I watched a video the other day, and I know this is real, and it blew my mind. There was a family sitting at a picnic table having a picnic, right, out in the park. There was a bear sitting at the table with them, and they were just giving it peanut butter sandwiches.
Oh my God. No way. Really?
Literally they were making it. Like, a guy pulled out some bread. He put some peanut butter on it, gave it to the bear, and the bear was just sitting there like, thanks, man. It was as if it was Yogi.
What kind of bravery is that? I wouldn't be, no chance would I be doing that.
I mean, these guys all look like they're in their 20s. It was a guy, there was one girl sitting at the bench, and the one filming was a girl, because you can hear her talking throughout, like saying, oh my God, come on, you guys, you're not serious, are you?
I remember.
Maybe you do that.
I was at a golf tournament at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs years ago. It was like the U.S. Senior Open or something. And I was in the media center, and all of a sudden the television showed a bear, and it was running across one of the fairways. It was like, and I went, holy cow, I was just at that hole like 20 minutes ago. It's like, that could have been me. Like, the bear just kind of wandered onto the course and walked across the fairway and went back into the woods, and that was it. And I remember going, you got to be kidding. There's a bear here? Did you ever see Grizzly Man?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that scary?
Like, yes.
That guy loved those bears.
Yeah. And this guy was a bear expert.
He loved the bears. He was an expert. He was like, and he would be like, there's Mr. Chocolate. And he's eating a fish. And he dies. He gets killed.
Yeah.
Him and his girlfriend, they get mauled in the tent.
If he has no chance, what good are we?
Right.
I remember I was fishing in a lake once, and it's a popular fishing area. It was up in the mountains, and we were in a boat. My wife and I were in a boat, and we saw a bear come down to the shore where other people were fishing. A lot of them, like, just casually walked away.
Oh, okay.
And I sat there and was like, okay, maybe is that what you're supposed to do? Don't make any sudden moves? Because he came down to the water, walked along the water's edge, and then just disappeared back into the woods.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that how calm people were. I don't know if I'd be that way. I felt okay because I'm in a boat. I'm like, okay, if he's going to swim out here, you know, then by all means, come and get me.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
If you're going to do that effort, you might as well. Yeah. No kidding.
But, yeah, so it's a PSA from Wake Up Call. Don't push your slower friends.
Don't push your slower friends. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Well, the bad of the day.
Oh, the bad of the day, sorry.
The bad of the day, I don't know if it's bad just yet. Okay? Now, hear me out. Will Smith is moving forward with a reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
This is a reboot. Okay.
He's making the reboot after he saw a fan-made trailer. It's about a four-minute trailer. Now, I've watched it. It is really decent. But the reboot is going to turn the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air into a drama.
Oh, okay.
Now, it has the same storylines. I don't know if it's going to be called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. In the reboot trailer, they just call it Bel-Air.
All right, so...
But it's the same storyline. You know, he gets roughed up in Philly. He's shipped out to his aunt and uncle in Bel-Air. He's got to try to figure out a way to be a kid from West Philly, where he was born and raised.
Gotcha. not bad.
It's interesting, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, it's an original thought on a great TV show, but is it gonna take anything away from the TV? I'm reserving the bad right now. I'm not putting the full bad label on it.
I have made a decision a long time ago that just because something is nostalgic, I'm not just going to give my time and money towards it. I think I need to know it's worth my time or money. I don't just give my money away because it reminds me of a good. I've got plenty of opportunities to see the old shows.
Yeah,
I don't need a reboot of things that I used to like. I don't need a reboot of Cheers because it was my favorite show when I was in high school.
Yeah, I'll give. Like, I gave the 90210. Remember when they did that? Was that last year? I think it was last summer or something. They had like a they had a 90210 reunion, like a 6-episode, 8-episode reunion. I made it through the first two.
Yeah,
and I was all in. I was all in. I'm like, oh, this will be fun because it's 90210. It's right after Luke Perry had died, so I'm like, all right, how are they going to approach this? You know, I was curious. It's the same characters after the fact, but it was really what it was the actors being themselves reminiscing. It was a weird TV show. I couldn't really grasp, but it was like caricatures of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was weird.
I'm not, like, for example, I'm not going to see the Bill and Ted movie. I don't have any interest
in
that.
Well, I might see that.
I'm not. I'll wait for it to come
to streaming, though.
I don't know why. Yeah, maybe I'll watch it when it's free, on Netflix or something. Like, you know, when I say free, I mean, like, I'm not paying directly for it.
Right.
But I'm because it's just a nostalgic cash grab. And they know that. They're not creating a great story. What they're trying to do is get you and me to just hand over our money. You take my money. Because we used to like it when we were 15.
Yeah, be excellent.
Right?
I'm like, want us to do that.
I'm 30 years older than that. Like, I'm not just going to run and hand you my wallet because you're like, yeah, isn't it? This is something you used to like. So here, pay us. No, I'm not. Because 99% of the time, this stuff is crap. And I'm not going to pay for crap. So
no,
Will Smith,
you're right.
This is a good idea, but it better be good.
I mean, he's the guy who, or I don't know if it's a guy or a kid. I'm not sure. I'm going to say kid because I'm thinking he's in his 20s, and I'm allowed to say kid now. Just doesn't feel right, but it's, you know, we both know, you and I know it's right. He did a really good job executing this trailer.
Sounds like a good idea.
Now, we've seen trailers that look amazing, and then when you get the final product, you're like, you know, just stick to the trailer. I mean, it is an interesting idea. That's why I can't throw the full bat on it. I don't know what to think of it. Yeah.
It's intriguing. Like, if he cast, if he was trying to do the exact same thing with the exact same shtick, exact same comedy, no. But this is kind of an interesting
I mean, there is going to be comedy. I mean, they show, like, you know, the Carlton in this one doing the Carlton dance. So there's obviously going to be moments of humor, but the overall thing is a little darker.
Gotcha. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that the Mets announced that the final bids to buy the Mets are due August 31st. The reason why I'm putting this as a dumb is because I really don't think it's a seller's market. And this is the most Metsian thing I could think of.
All right, so
to sell the team now when all of baseball is losing money.
Yeah, during a pandemic.
But they have three bids. I mean, Forbes, I guess, values the Mets at $2.5 million, but most of the bids are coming in at two.
$2 billion.
$2 billion, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a baseball team in the city of New York, if we $2 billion seems like a steal.
It does, but
even if it's the second team in New York, I mean, even if it's back.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters.
Still incredible. $2 billion seems like an incredible bargain.
So far, there's three bids out there. Steve Cohen, who had a chance to buy it but failed, he still has his bid out there. There's the group that's led by Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo to buy the Mets. They're in the $2 billion game, I guess. And then the owner of the Sixers.
The fact of the matter that the baseball union could not see some of the financials of these teams when they were negotiating the how we were coming back makes me think that when we are under 162 games, full stadium, that they're printing money on an absurd level that would make $2 billion a steal. Plus, you just pass it down in your family, like you become a part of an elite club.
Oh, I can see.
Seems like an elite.
I can see all the reasonings for buying. I'm just saying, for the Wilpons and the Mets to be selling during this time I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, because you're right. What was it, $2.5 billion to $2 billion? I mean, it's $500 million. On the table. That's right. That's right.
But they're
not
going
to
get
something to sneeze at. Yeah, you're right.
And somebody will buy the Mets. It's one of those things, like, when you know, if you buy a house and you bought a house below market and you can turn around and go, hey, let's, we can grab like $90,000 out of this because we bought it way below market and throw it back into the house.
Yeah, right.
Type of thing. That's what I feel like. I feel like when the Mets, when whoever buys the Mets, say they buy it for $2 billion, all of a sudden, when they buy it, it's just boom. Automatically, they've already made some money back.
Yeah, gotcha.
Just from signing the piece of paper.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Wednesday edition. Hey, one of the big challenges that we are all dealing with is wearing masks. You know that they can be uncomfortable. You can hardly breathe in them. Well, we got the answer. Boomer Naturals, 3-layer comfortable and highly breathable mask. I've been using mine. It's great. They come in sizes for all adults, teens, and children. They're in stock now, shipped to you fast. And one of the reasons that they're highly protective, and that's a good key, is the nano silver technology. It's woven into the fabric and can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and the mouth. That's what we want right now. That is protection at its highest. Boomer also offers the popular nano silver neck gaiters. Order now at boomernaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony. Save 20%. That's promo code Tony at boomernaturals.com. Save yourself 20% and get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at boomernaturals.com. All right, it is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network. All right, so college football has lost the Big Ten. No Ohio State, Michigan. Maybe we get it in the spring. I don't know. Look, if I'm a Big Ten fan or a Pac-12 fan and they give me the line of we're coming back into the spring, I'm probably not enthusiastic about this at all. I'm probably not going to go, yeah, all right, we'll see you in the spring. I'm probably going to go, look, just if you figure it out in the spring, great. But right now, I think the 2020 season is over. Maybe that's more of a pessimistic look to it. I know, but I don't know, man. Going to play spring football, I'll see it when I'll believe it when I see it. As we continue along on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Matt Perrault, host of Pushing the Odds on Sports Map Radio, and this is Odds and Ends, brought to you by BetUS.
The NFL season is around the corner, and a look at the MVP race is going to be fascinating. Lamar Jackson, the defending champ, he's plus 500 to repeat. Patrick Mahomes, though, the odds-on favorite at plus 300. Russell Wilson comes in right behind those two guys at plus 600, and Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson at plus 1,500 to win the MVP award this year in the NFL.
Listen up, sports bettors. This is Phil Snyder here to tell you about one of my favorite sports books, and that's BetUS. Football, basketball, and baseball are all back, and that means it's time to get down your bets. I only tell you about the best, and BetUS.com is the best. Why, you ask? BetUS is the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-MY-BET-US. That's 1-800-MY-BET-US, and they'll walk you through getting started. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. Join now. Mention odds and ends, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses, BetUS should be your sportsbook. Join today. Call 1-800-MY-BETUS or go to BetUS.com. Remember, mention odds and ends to get your bonus.
It's incredibly hard to win the MVP, let alone win the thing twice. It would be hard to see Lamar Jackson win another MVP award. However, the Baltimore Ravens are going to be very good. You can't sleep on defending champs either in Patrick Mahomes, but maybe if the Texans get their act together, Deshaun Watson might be the reason why, without DeAndre Hopkins to throw the football to, maybe he's going to have a big year. That's going to do it for today's Odds and Ends, brought to you by BetUS. Go to BetUS.com and start playing today. BetUS, a simply better sportsbook.